1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." If you love God, if you really love God, then you're going to love the children of God. That's what that's saying. If you don't love the children of God, you do not love God. "Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one." As you see the signs around our community about the community-wide revival, there's one word that's bigger than every other word on that sign. What's the one word that stands out on those signs about the community-wide revival? One. I want us tonight to think about the mystery of more than one being one. I want us to think about the beauty of more than one being one. I want us to think about the miracle of more than one being one. Did you know it's a miracle that more than one can be one? And the first, as we think about more than one being one, the first thing that is clear from this passage of Scripture is the triune God. If any of the preachers here want to get up and really explain the triune God, if you think you can, I'll tell them to see you after church. The Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness." I've come up with all kinds of ways to try to explain the triune God. All kinds of illustrations. The egg has a shell on the outside, has the white, and then it has the yellow. You can say the outside is God the Father represents God the Father, and the white part represents God the Son, and the yellow represents God the Holy Spirit. You can take an apple and you can say, well, the outside represents God the Father. It protects the flesh, the meaty part. The flesh is the inside that represents God the Son, and the seed represents the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, brethren, there is no comparison between an apple or an egg or anything else. You cannot explain the triune God. The first time that I ever tried to preach on that, I thought I had it all very clear. Somebody had asked me to preach on the triune God and explain it, explain there are three in one. And as I began to preach, before I realized it, I was preaching three gods. And then before I realized it, I was denying there are three gods and said there's only one true and living God. And I was just going in circles. And even though I can't fully explain and comprehend the triune God, I know that God's word is true. God's word says there are three, and these three are one. That's the fact. That's the beauty. That's the mystery of three in one God. Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 10. He says, "I and my Father are what? I and my Father are one." Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they are one. They are one. And we can just read and study the Word of God and rejoice in the triune God. But I want everybody here to know it's a great mystery, the three in one God. It's a mystery that more than one can be one. It's a miracle that more than one can be one. And it is beautiful to know that more than one is one. You remember when Jesus sent out the apostles and told them to go and to preach and to teach and to baptize. He said, now, as you go, this is recorded in Matthew chapter 28. He says, as you go, you baptize in the name, singular, not names, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's who he told them to baptize, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you read the book of Acts, and everywhere that they were baptizing, the scripture says they baptized in the name of Jesus. That, I believe, is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to agree with everything I'm saying about the triune God. I'm just asking you to study God's Word, and you'll see it is a beautiful mystery. It is a miracle. The triune God is a great miracle, and it's a wonderful blessing to read in God's Word about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and to know that these three are one. And as we think about the oneness of the triune God, I need to know that I need to be one with God. Don't mean me on the same plane as God, but I need to walk with God. When we sing the song sometimes, what a friend we have in Jesus. Brethren, it's a great blessing to have Jesus as a friend. But in order to have Jesus as your friend, you have to walk with Jesus. You can't walk your way and Jesus is going to follow you around like a little puppy dog. Jesus is going to walk in the light. And if you're going to walk with Jesus, the only way you can be at one with Jesus, the only way you can be in harmony with Jesus, the only way you can be a friend of Jesus is to walk His way. Back up just a couple of pages to 1 John chapter 1. I'm talking about now not the triune God so much as talking about you being one with God, you walking with God, you being with God as you live day by day. 1 John chapter 1, listen please to verses 5, 6, and 7. Did you know there are a lot of people who think they walk with God that do not walk with God? There are a lot of people that think they know God that do not know God. You'll see that as we read these scriptures. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Word of God says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, what are we talking about? We're talking about being one. We're talking about walking with God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, the Word of God says we lie and do not the truth. Now that's a flat out lie. Some people don't like for people to be blunt. But listen, brethren, God's Word is very clear. It's very blunt. If you think that you're walking with God and you're walking in darkness, you're a liar. And you've deceived yourself, or you're trying to deceive other people. The fact is, the only time that I'm at one with God, the only time that I am in fellowship with God, is when I'm walking in the light. Every time that I stop walking in the light, I'm not in harmony with God. I'm not walking with God. The next verse, verse 7 says, but, isn't this wonderful? To walk with God, isn't this a marvelous blessing? To walk with God. I remember when I was a little boy, I loved to walk with my daddy. I liked to walk with these brethren that were up here front a while ago. I liked to walk with them. I'm not ashamed to be seen with any of them. I feel good when I walk around town with them. But I'll tell you, brethren, to walk with God is the most wonderful fellowship you can ever have. And the only reason that these men that were up here, and the only time that these preachers that were up here, the only time we can walk together in harmony is when each of us is individually walking with God. And you let any one of us, me or any of us, stop walking with God, and that's going to be the end of us walking together, that day at least. Until I get back on the right track, I'm not going to be in fellowship with those brethren because they're going to keep on walking with God. I'm going to be out of step. I'm going to be in a different path. I'm going to be walking the broad way, and they're walking the straight and narrow way because they'd rather have fellowship with God than to have fellowship with me. Did you know that's more important in your life than anything else is for you to be at one with God? O-N-E, one with God. Because I can't be one with my brethren, I can't be one with my wife, I can't be one with the church, unless first of all, I am one with God, walking with God. Then I can be at one with my brethren, I can be at one with my wife, I can be one with the church when I'm walking with God. That's the most important thing you need to remember tonight, is you need to walk with God. So often we think about those sinners out there that aren't walking with God. Listen, brethren, there's not a person here that always walks with God. Every one of us, we get on the wrong track sometimes. If you got up this morning and you didn't pray and ask God to help you and bless you as you went to the house of God, if you didn't ask God, and the songwriter expresses it beautifully when he says, ere you left your room this morning, before you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you think to pray? If you didn't think to pray, you're not at one with God. You were not at one with God right then, because when you're walking with God, you're going to be having a prayer in your heart all the time. So the scripture says here that if we want to be one with God, we have to walk in the light as He is in the light, because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now the next, come down to chapter 2 just a moment. Chapter 2 says in verse 3, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, and brethren, I want you to remember that not only if you're going to walk in the light do you have to walk with God, you have to walk with people that are walking in the light. The Bible says that we were darkness. I wasn't just in darkness, I was darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 says we were darkness, but now we are light. You know how I changed from darkness to light? God came to me. The light, the great light came to me and quickened me, and I was born of the Spirit of God. And I became light. I was darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. And then He says, now walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. And then He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. If you're going to try to hold hands with people that are walking ungodly and hold hands with God at the same time, you're going to split yourself apart. You can't walk with the world and with God at the same time. It's your decision. You walk with God, you walk in the light, or you walk away from God and you walk in darkness. That's a broad path, and it'll lead to destruction in your life. The only way that you're going to find that abundant life is if you walk with Jesus every day. Walk in the light. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know Him. Now listen, brethren, there's some things I think. There's some things I know, and there's some things I know that I know. Does everybody understand that? I know that I know that God is real. I know that I know that heaven is real. I know that I know that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. I know a lot of things. I know that I know a lot of things, and there's some things I think. This is something you can know that you know. We do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And brethren, the converse of that is, if you're not keeping His commandments, you don't really know God. Any of you men here ever thought you knew your wife and you found out you didn't know her near as well as you thought you did? Any of you brethren here, any of us preachers, are there times we think, well, we know each other and, you know, he's the best man on the face of the earth. He's the best preacher in the world. He's the best man of God on the earth. And all of a sudden you see a flaw and you think, oh my goodness. Did you know we've all got flaws? We've all got flaws. There's not a perfect man in this building. And women are better than men, typically, and there's not a perfect woman in this building. Little children, there's not a perfect child. We're all imperfect creatures. Brethren, when you start walking willfully in darkness and you turn your back on God, then every one of you had better turn your back on that person. Now, you might not agree with that yet, but you will if you'll follow God's word here. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him. Do you really know God? And that's my question. Are you really walking with God? Because if you're not really walking with God, you don't really know God. You come to know God by walking with God. We brethren that have been meeting together, we came to know each other. I knew Brother Michelangelo James 30 years ago. I thought, but I didn't know him then. I thought I did. He and I went out to eat together, but I didn't know him. I know him now. I know him. You think you know the Lord? Well, the more you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on your way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You stop following God, you stop walking with God, and you won't know God. You'll begin to even doubt that you're a child of God when you stop walking with God, because God won't give you that peace and assurance when you stop walking with the Lord. I want you to remember this one thing. It's very, very important. On everything except the triune God, everything else that we talk about, you walking with God, in order for you to walk with God, in order for me to walk with my wife, in order for us to walk together in the church, in order for the church to be what she ought to be, there always has to be a separation before there can be unity. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I just said. There has to be a separation before there can be unity. I cannot be united with God until I separate myself from things. Did everybody hear what I just said? I cannot be united with God and hold on with everything in the world. The Bible says, whosoever, James chapter 4, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So if I want to hold hands with the world, if I'm a friend of the world, I am an enemy of God. And yet a lot of people, listen, man, there are a lot of confused so-called Christians running around today, and they just want everybody to be one big happy family, and we're just all going to hug and kiss and all going to walk hand in hand and just sing happy songs together no matter how we live, no matter how we walk. That's contrary to God's word. You can't do that. When Jesus was praying, he said, I pray not for the world, but for them thou hast given me out of the world. The word of God tells us, brethren, as his people, the word of God tells us, come out from among them. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Do you have to separate yourself from things in this world before you can be joined to God? I do. I believe that. In fact, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world. I'm going to tell you something. One time, many years ago, right after I met Brother Keith Lloyd, I knew what his truck looked like. And I was going down the road, and I pulled up to a stop sign, and I thought it was him behind me, and he had a sign on, whoever it was, had a sign on the front of his truck that said, I love my truck. Son, I got home, and I started calling Brother Keith. And when I finally got him, I said, Brother Keith, I need to talk to you. You got a sign on your truck that bothers me greatly. I love my truck. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, Brother Bill, I don't have a sign on my truck that says I love my truck. You see how easy you can falsely accuse somebody? I thought I knew that. That was a lie. You know what he knows? He knows you're not supposed to love the things of the world. He knows you can't love the world and love God at the same time. And brethren, you have to separate yourself from the world in order to walk with God. The Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5, listen carefully to this now. We're talking about being one. I'm talking about me and my wife. I'm talking about Brother Adam and Sister Regina. I'm talking about all you preachers and your wives. Did you know that you can't be, every man in here, you can't be one with your wife until you're one with who first? You have to be one with God first. You can't be one with your wife. You cannot really be united with your wife unless you're one with God. Now, when you are one with God, then if you... Now, what did I say you had to do before you can have unity? You have to separate from something. You know, every couple, before I marry them, one of the main things I have to emphasize is, for this cause shall a man leave the separation. See the separation? If I'm going to walk with God, I've got to separate myself from what? I've got to separate my... I'm going to say it again. If I'm going to walk with God, I have to separate myself from the world. If I'm going to walk with my wife, I have to separate myself from my parents. There's a severing. There's a cutting away. There's a leaving that has to take place. And God's Word says that. And this isn't just me talking. This is God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5. Brother Adam, fasten your seatbelt. One of these days... That precious little daughter, that sweet as sugar, one of these days, she's going to leave, y'all. Now, she is. Now, they'll promise you, and my daughter, she promised me she would never leave me. I can remember her standing on the bed, me holding, honey, you going to always be, yes, Daddy, I'm never leaving you. I'm going to be a doctor, and y'all are going to live with me, and everything's going to be wonderful. And then Tony Wheeler came along, and that was the end of that. Now listen, brethren, it's good that they got together. And it is also good that she left me to join unto him. Listen, Ephesians 5, there's got to be a separation before there can be a real unity. Ephesians 5, listen please to verse 31. The Word of God says, for this cause, we're talking about a marriage now. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. For this cause shall a man, what? Leave. You have to have a separation before you can have what? A union. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be, what's the one? Two become one. That's a miracle, that two become one. It's a miracle. The triune God's a miracle. It's a miracle that you can be one with God. It's a miracle that a husband and wife can be one. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. It is beautiful. And it's something that we all need to be praising the Lord for, is a good, godly marriage. And I want y'all to pray for Brother Michelangelo. He's looking for a wife. He is. And listen. He's told us to pray for that. I didn't make that up. And there have been a lot of women interested in him. And one or two that he was interested in. But did you know what he kept doing? He kept seeking the Lord. You know what he wants? He wants the one. That God chose for him. And I want to say to all you young people, let me say something to you parents. All you parents that are trying to rush your children into getting married, shame on you. Shame on you. It's a shame and a disgrace when parents are trying to push their kids into marriage. And so many mamas are dressing their daughters like they want to get married when they're 8 or 9 years old. You quit dressing those girls like they belong out on the street on Saturday night. You dress them like a Christian. Any boy that's not interested in a girl that looks like a Christian ought not to be married or running around with or walking with your daughter. Being one, a good family, a good husband, a good marriage, first you got to be one with God, and then you can be one with each other. God gave me my wife. Now, one in the church. Now, I want to close right here, but listen. One in the church is one of the most beautiful miracles in all the world. Isn't it? Is it a miracle that we're all here together tonight? You think, Brother Keith, you think it's a miracle? They say, Primitive Baptist are over here and Free Will Baptist are over here. They say that. Now, that's what they say. Me and Brother Keith just don't see it. We can't find the problem. Listen, brethren, these men that are down front, we are one. We have great fellowship with God. We have great fellowship with each other. All of us who are here tonight, we are one. You know who we are one under? We are one under Christ Jesus. There is a local body of born-again baptized believers, like the different churches that are represented here tonight, but there is the body of Christ, and it's a body of people so great that no man can number, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. And Jesus is the one who has saved us from our sins. And this body of Christ has one head, and it's not a board of deacons. You got a board of deacons running the church that you're a member of, you need to straighten that mess out. You don't find that in God's Word. Deacons have one responsibility in the Bible, and that's to take care of the widows. Nothing else. Nothing else. And if they're not taking care of the widows, you need to remove them from being a deacon. If that's not who they're interested in taking care of, get rid of them as being a deacon, because that's the only scriptural purpose of a deacon. And the church will get along better when you stop having all these different heads in the church. See, the head of the church is the preacher, right? No, the head of the church is not the preacher. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. The only head. The only head. We're the body. We're all one. We're all part of His body. It's a great mystery, isn't it? And yet we're all one. Did you know it's a miracle that we're all one here tonight? It's a miracle. It's a miracle that someone's already mentioned Psalm 133:1. Behold, look at it. Look at it. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Brother Dillon, I think me and you could live together, don't you? I'm talking about friends. Listen, you know, used to you could say something like that and nobody thought anything about it. I'm not talking about something that's an abomination in the sight of God. I think we preachers that are up here tonight, I think we could live together. Does everybody understand? I'm not talking about something sexual. I'm talking about brotherly love, harmony, and the church, the local body, and the big church. All of us need to learn to dwell together in unity. What was the first verse? Well, if you don't love him that begat, then you don't love the begotten. And if you love he that begat, you love the begotten. May God help us to love each other. You know how people know whether or not you're a disciple of Jesus? Jesus says this in John 13:35. By this, here's the number one way, is if you wash feet,
no.
By this, only one way, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. If that's not there, you're not a follower of Jesus. May God help us to love one another, love God with all our heart, and walk united with God as our head, is my prayer for Christ's sake.